sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. 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 I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, okay?
Hello, friend. LD here with a special extra credit episode of I'm Sorry, Okay? The podcast where we're watching so much Degrassi. If you listened to our most recent episode where we recap season 2, episode 1, which is called Egbert, you'll remember that we talked a little bit about Amy Milan, whose music we all love, and she opens up the entire episode, and indeed the entire season, with a monologue. So I reached out to Amy, and she agreed to talk a little bit to me about her audition, the shooting of the episode, and some of her other Degrassi memories. So I hope you enjoy it.
Hi.
Hi. I feel like this took quite some time to happen. We kept missing each other, but now we've settled in. We are on Zoom, and you are
across oceans during a pandemic. It's a difficult time to get anything together.
Truly, but I think that this is sort of representational of all of lockdown. It's like everyone is on Zoom together, even if they're down the street.
Yes,
so you could be anywhere. But where are you right now?
Right now, I am in my bed. It's literally in my bed in Montreal, Canada. And it's very cold. And my kids are in school, which is fabulous because they weren't for a few months there. Whoa. And I'm probably going to go and hang out with my band stars in the afternoon because we're bubbled. So that's what we do.
So for anyone who is listening who does not know you, would you like to introduce yourself? Would you like to tell people whomst you are?
My name is Amy Milan, and I play in a band called Stars, and I also play sometimes with Broken Social Scene, and I also have 2 solo records out and a former child actor.
Oh, my stars. Literally, oh, my stars. I'm sorry. That was awful. Would you like to tell me? So the way that I kind of like to start asking people about Degrassi in general is like your general Degrassi journey, which I suppose is for you very different, obviously, because you opened up season 2. You are the first person we see and hear.
That's right.
So had you auditioned once? Had you auditioned multiple times? Were you already a fan of the show?
I was really good friends with Anais Granofsky, who plays Lucy, right? So she was one of my best friends in like middle school. And so I didn't really know the show. Like, I didn't know Degrassi Street, which was the original before the junior high. I didn't know the show. And then we were really good friends, and she was on the show. And so I auditioned to be on the show full time. So I auditioned for the role of Maya Goldberg, who is in the wheelchair.
Oh my God, she has a name?
Yes, her name is Maya. So I don't know where the photo is, but I have a photo of me like sitting in a wheelchair with this like really bad hat and this necklace that was made by my aunt of like, she used to make jewelry out of buttons. And so it was like this colorful button necklace with this like gigantic hat. Anyway.
What sort of hat are we talking about? Are we talking like a bucket hat? Are we talking about like a beanie?
No, it's a straw hat, but it was like very large. And I felt very like, I wasn't going to nail it. I was like, I'm going to nail this. So it was the audition start where you go and there's like 50 people. And then it goes down to like 15 people. And then just even for like the new crew that they're going to bring in. So I made it to the very last round of auditions. And there was a woman named, she was a girl at the time, because I was probably 13. And her name was Kira Levy. And she had a neurological disease called Charcot-Marie tooth, I think it's called. And it's like a form of muscle dystrophy.
Right.
So she required foot braces, and she had some trouble like grasping objects. So she was auditioning for the same part as me. And they felt because she had, this kind of neurological disease that it was kind of great. It was like the original, like, give the part to the person who's like already kind of, she had foot braces on. So she wasn't in a wheelchair, but she was definitely like had issues with her neurological situation. So she got the part.
And which makes total sense, I feel like.
Total sense, absolutely. So, but the person who was doing the auditions was like, you know, we really like her, so we're going to get her in there somewhere. So then they cast me in the role of this young pregnant teenager.
Did you have a name?
I don't remember. I don't remember if I had a name. I must have. Like, I probably gave myself a name even if I didn't, because I took it very seriously, all the acting. I'm sure I gave myself a birthday and a sign. And when I got pregnant, my boyfriend David wanted to help. It was his parents who were the problem. You know what his father said to me? He said, whatever you do is your own choice. I don't want my son involved. Like, I still remember the whole monologue. I don't remember anything. Like, anything. I remember you because I remember your face now, but like, honestly, like that night, it was King Tut's, right? Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, things, it was King Tut's.
I still had to memorize those words, and like the stakes were so high that it's still locked inside my mind, that monologue.
I think that's incredible. I still can't remember exactly how the conversation came that, you know, I met you backstage at King Tut's in Glasgow. You had seen a friend of mine in the audience, and you're like, oh, come backstage. Cause everyone the world over knows Kendall. And I don't know how we got from, hi, it's so nice to meet you, I've been listening to your music for my entire adult life, to, by the way, do you watch Degrassi? Because you're Canadian. And somehow that, like, I don't know what the bridge was there, but I'm kind of glad I asked.
Well, generally, you know, people from, where are you from originally?
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Ish.
So generally people in the States think that the Canadians all know each other. So it's a very common kind of, if you're into Degrassi, like most Americans, I'm surprised you even know about it, because I don't think like a ton of Americans even know about the show, but it's not a surprise. It's, you know, like, I met like people, you know, who say, oh, the closest I've ever been to Canada was Vancouver. And I was like, well, you were in Canada. Like,
it's Canada.
It's Canada. But yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because, well, I think that like Drake really has brought a lot of shine to the show.
For me, it was just on cable. And I think Junior High and High were actually in syndication when I was growing up. And so I remembered Spike, but I don't remember anything else. But I think I love that you remember your monologue. What a kind of amazing thing, because I feel like it's like when people have to, like in middle school, they have to like remember like the preamble to the Constitution and set it to a song or something to pass the test. It's like that's always in their brain.
Yeah, like how to spell Mississippi, MISSISSIPPI, right? Like,
you just, exactly. That's
never going to go away.
However, Massachusetts will never, that I have to look it up every time. So you knew someone on the show then, and did you know anybody else who was on the show? Like, what was the actual day of shooting like? Did you find that you were familiar with anybody else? Was there a lot of waiting around?
No, it's very professional. I was very nervous. It took hardly any time at all. I didn't know anybody else, but I weirdly became really good friends with the guy who started the show, Kit Hood.
The infamous.
I became really good friends with his daughter, Fena. Fena? Pretty positive that was her name. She had a rat. She had a pet rat. Fena. And she was like this kind of lovely girl. And we met, I think that's where we met. We met at the rat party. And she was just such a mess. I loved her because I could relate.
When you were on the show, did you do your own hair and makeup? Did you pick your own outfit? Because that's the kind of, that's the narrative that surrounds Degrassi Junior High, is that everyone who was on the show.
I definitely didn't have hair and makeup, for sure. There was definitely no hair and makeup. I did. They might have given me a t-shirt because I was like 8 months pregnant, right?
Yes.
So I had to have, I think I, they, but it kind of looked like my clothes. So I can't really say for sure, but definitely there was none of that on that show, I don't think.
That's what we heard. We I watched some kind of like, I think it was a news special where they went inside Degrassi Junior High and showed you the school. And so they, I remember seeing this thing where it said like, while people were waiting to shoot, there was this sort of, there was like a big room that everyone was in and they would be given stuff to do while they were waiting to shoot. Is that?
Well, that was probably because they would be on the school. They right. would probably be at school, but I was off, like I was at a mother's group center house.
Off campus.
Place. Yeah, we were off campus with Spike. Like it was me and Spike and like extras. I don't even think Spike speaks in that. It's just me. I'm the only one talking. And then they go right to the egg, right?
Yes. Did you ever have to do a project like that where you had to carry something around for like-
No, I've me never either. Heard of such a thing.
Me neither, but we were talking about this on the last episode that we recorded, and Paul and Mary said they both had to carry around flour, like a sack of flour that was supposed to be a baby.
Oh, well, let me tell you, a baby is a lot more stressful than a sack of flour. I think an egg makes way more sense. Carrying around an egg is much more like having a child than carrying around a bag of flour.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make a delicious quiche out of your baby.
No. like if you drop the baby, it won't just make a thud and you can't sweep it back together. Whereas like, that's why the egg was great. Cause it was like, once you break that egg, baby, it's done. Yeah. I never had to do that. I don't know. That's such a strange, maybe they're just trying to stop teen pregnancies.
Yes. And like abstinence only sex education.
Yes.
It's like, these are your things. Like, we're going to give you your kit. You've got your, purity ring and your sack of flour.
So, I don't know if you know, did we talk about the song Wheels when I saw you at the...
No.
Oh, this is, you should find it for some, because I don't know if you know the story about the character Wheels, but it's tragic.
Oh, real life Neil real Hope.
Real life story behind the guy who played Wheels.
He died not long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think he had like addiction issues and mental health issues. Anyway, he was a friend of a singer songwriter in Canada who I love and adore called Charlotte Cornfield. And she
amazing
wrote her
name.
I know, she's amazing. She's so many great songs. I feel like she's our John Prine, but she wrote a beautiful song about him. So it's called Wheels. It's by Charlotte Cornfield. You should go check it out and have it at some point if there's a Wheels, you know, a show that's directed at Wheels, because they always kind of picked one kid, right, to like make the episode about. So
Wheels gets quite a few kind of front and center storylines.
Mm-hmm. So go check it out, go find it. Charlotte Cornfield, the song
Charlotte Cornfield. I'm absolutely gonna check that out. And I guess when Degrassi came back and it was The Next Generation, at the end of season 5 they're all graduating and Stars plays over this graduation scene. And I remember hearing that only Canadian bands were allowed to be featured on the show. I don't know if this is a real thing, but did they approach you? Did they ask if they could use Stars' music for it? And also, did you feel like you'd sort of come full circle with like being on Degrassi and then being on Degrassi in a very different way?
They definitely asked, as you have to. They licensed the song. I never saw the episode.
You never saw it?
I mean, how long ago was that? That was like 10 years ago or something, right?
It had to be like maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there and I'm sure I'll get fact checked, but I want to say like 2006 or something.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like 2006, I was playing in Broken Social Scene, Stars, and I put out a solo record. I was never not on the road. I was like traveled the most in my life ever during that time. That was a major, like Bedroom came out and I think Self-Titled of Social Scene came out. Like, anyway, it was a mad time. So I just remember it being like, we were like hurling down the highway on a bus in Germany and they were like, the email comes in of like, Degrassi wants to license for this amount, are you in? I was like, oh cool, I was on that show once, nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
No,
okay,
no,
that's the most outrageous part.
I'd said it so many times that everyone's like, yeah, we know, Amy, you were on Degrassi. Congratulations. Cause you know, Torque was a movie star. So my little spot on Degrassi had no comparison to Torque being like the main character in the Seal movie. Yeah, because the thing is, the OC, they also licensed the same song.
Yes, they did.
And we were like, oh, it's going to be on the OC. And then we watched it and it was like a scene where like he's in the cafeteria, like eating a hamburger, and it's just kind of in the background. And I was like, oh, he's just eating a hamburger. Like, so was the song featured as the like graduation song?
Okay. So I feel like, first of all, I should say that the song is Your Ex-Lover is Dead. And there's an entire Reddit thread that is dedicated to which show did a better job of using it.
Oh my God.
The OC or Degrassi. That is an actual thread on Reddit. I did not weigh in because I try not to go on Reddit, but obviously Degrassi did a better job. It is featured. It is basically like a songtage of like, you know, we've got this class graduating. We've got someone who got held back running after his Jesus camp girlfriend and like trying to make amends because I think he cheated on her or something. There's multiple things going on. And yeah, you've got your ex-lover is dead playing over the whole thing.
I wonder too, like what I think is so funny is I wonder if anybody who worked on the show at the time that that song was on, if they had any idea that I was actually on the show, because they probably wouldn't, because it's a next generation of people, right? So I wonder if any of them made the connection for me back then.
I think Linda Schuyler was the showrunner for Degrassi Junior High and possibly the next generation. I'm obviously going to have to do a deep dive into this now and figure
it
out.
Well, I should too. Linda Schuyler. Yeah. She was the one who definitely, I think, was in my corner and was the reason I got the guest appearance, was because Linda was like, because, you know, it's pretty devastating when you spend like a month auditioning and then you don't get the part. It's like hard on a kid, you know, it's hard on a kid.
A month. So, it was a month.
It was a month long process, because it would be like on the weekends. That you would kind of, and then they would like look at your tapes, and then they would discuss with everybody, and then they'd break down another group, and then you'd make it to the next stage. And yeah, it was like a long process, very long process.
Wow.
So I think Linda Schuyler was the one that was really gunning for me to like get a little role there.
And I guess my other question is, in this month-long process, was it only for this one role of Maya, or was it they were casting for multiple roles?
I think I started as just like, come in and like, you know, act like a monkey or whatever they make you do, like as a child actor. And then they're like seeing who's into being able to be as ridiculous as possible and who like, you know, stands out as like, like, I'll do whatever you say. And so that was the first round. And then I think they gave me this part and then they gave me lines and like I had to, you know, so long ago. But I do remember always feeling anxious. And that's really why like I kept doing auditions, and I got a part in another show called, it was a TV movie. Can't even remember what it's called, but it starred Ocean Hellman and Ted. Oh God. I don't remember anything, but I do remember my monologue from Degrassi Junior High.
Which I think is the most important part.
It is.
Is there anything else that you would like to... Oh, actually, you know what? I would like to ask. I do remember I had one more question that I didn't write down that I wanted to ask you, which was, when it aired, did you like get together with your pals or your family? Did you watch your big debut?
Oh, it went by way too quickly. And that's why I'm so thankful for YouTube, because it was like the speed at which it was, I wanted to watch it 1,000 more times, but I couldn't. I was like, it's just on TV. And, you know, it was an incredibly exciting moment. But I will say, like, when you're like, did they do their own hair and makeup? It was definitely like not a lot of bells and whistles. Like, I've been on movie sets and I've been on TV sets since. And like, Degrassi was definitely like a DIY kind of feeling. Like, craft services were not, like, I don't even think they're M&Ms.
Sounds nice and lo-fi the way that we like our Degrassi. But did your family, like, did your friends, were they excited? Did they vibe with this absolute thrill of you being on?
No, they were all incredibly mean about it. People were horrible to me. And then they tried to steal the money that I made to buy drugs by pretending. This was an actual, like, my life was more like a Degrassi episode during that time than ever, because of this quote unquote friend of mine pretended she had to have an abortion and that she needed to borrow money from me, but she didn't. She just used the money to buy drugs. And then I broke up with her and we never spoke again.
Oh my God.
I know.
That is a Degrassi episode.
I know. My life became such a Degrassi episode. After
life imitating art, Yeah. Truly. I thought you meant that your parents stole the money. And I was like, that is some Macaulay Culkin shit.
That's some Jenny Lewis vibes. No, 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 that didn't happen. They let me have the money. I don't know what I eventually spent it on. A little bit on this like faux
fake abortion.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, I guess when you get that, like the sweet nectar of fame, everybody wants a taste. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever said.
They're like, well, but they're all like, who do you think you are? Big shot. You know, they were all annoyed. So then I went to an art school that I left that high school because it was so terrible and everyone was so mean to me. And then I ended up at Etobicoke School of the Arts where I met Emily Haynes from Metric. And that's where I met Kevin Drew. It changed my life. It was like that whole thing that happened with the show and the money and the drugs and the fake abortion sent me away into my new life with the nerds and the soft-hearted, you know.
The nerds who make everyone's like breakup music.
Yeah, we were always slightly sad. Still are.
So it was an art like high school, or this was college?
No, this was high school. Yeah, it was high school. It was an arts high school. Like FAME. Is FAME college?
I also went to an arts high school. So I'm always, and everyone's always like, oh, I didn't think that exists. So I love hearing that someone else did.
Yes, it was really exceptional school and it's still open. And I still have now my friends' kids go there.
Do you have to have like a major there, or is it like?
Yeah, you have to have a major. And so you audition for two different arts and one's your major. So theater performance was my major with Emily and Kevin. We were all in theater majors, which I find hilarious because we're such drama queens. And then music was all of our minors, but then Wow. It became the major role in our lives, but the drama never ceased to follow us around.
Oh my God. I had no idea. That's incredible. So if people want to find you, if people want to find stars, if people want to find out about anything that is happening in your life, where can they find you?
Unfortunately, so much time is spent on Twitter. It's my name, Amy Milan, two L's. At Twitter, and then stars is you are stars at Twitter. That's Torkel's usually yelling at the stars account. My own, where I'm mostly trying to crack jokes.
And you guys have a Patreon, don't you?
We do. We have a Patreon page. It costs $5 a month, but you get so much cool stuff. I posted a vintage Milan song from 1998 last night, song I wrote my young youth with my first band, 16 Tons. Chris McCarron, the guitar player, is always giving gear updates. And Patty McGee is the best. And he just, I don't know what the heck he's going to do. He plays banjo one week. He did a montage of me on my birthday, like a 4-minute photo montage. And I was like, am I dead? It really seemed, but that's the kind of stuff you can find on our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/youarestars. Come join us.
Thank you so much for listening to this extra credit episode of I'm Sorry, Okay? And thank you so much again to Amy Milan for talking to me. You can find us on social media at I'm Sorry, Okay Pod. That's okay spelled OKAY. We are on Twitter and we're on Instagram. And you can follow Stars on Instagram at Montreal Stars and find their Patreon at patreon.com/youarestars.